Good evening. This is The Synthetic Lens. I'm David Carver. The Musk versus OpenAI trial has moved into its second week, and the witness chair has shifted from Elon Musk to one of the people closest to the center of OpenAI itself, Greg Brockman. No full public transcript has surfaced yet. The public docket, as of our last check Monday evening Pacific time, still showed no new filing beyond Document 522, OpenAI's failed bid to put an alleged eve of trial Musk text before the jury. So tonight, we're going to be precise. What follows is based on independent courtroom reporting from Courthouse News, Business Insider, the Associated Press, Bloomberg Law, Gizmodo, and the Northern District of California's public calendar and live stream notice. The testimony is real. The docket is still catching up. Marcus Chen is here on the Technology and Power Beat. Stan Rogers is tracking the courtroom mechanics. Marcus, start with the new center of gravity.
Thanks, David. The trial's first week belonged to Musk. 7+ hours over 3 days, a bruising cross-examination, the speciest origin story, and the awkward admission that XAI partly distills OpenAI models. Monday's testimony changed the texture of the case. Greg Brockman is not a side character. He's OpenAI's president, a co-founder, and one of the people Musk's lawyers are trying to frame as having understood in real time that OpenAI's nonprofit to for-profit pivot was morally and legally fraud. And according to courtroom reports Monday, Musk's lawyers went straight at two things: Brockman's money and Brockman's own words.
The headline number is hard to miss: nearly $30 billion.
Right. The Associated Press and Business Insider both reported that Brockman disclosed his OpenAI stake is worth nearly $30 billion. Courthouse News put the range at roughly $20 to $30 billion. Either way, that puts him in a level of wealth that is almost surreal for someone sitting at a witness stand being questioned about a nonprofit mission. Business Insider also reported that Brockman confirmed OpenAI is exploring an IPO. That's important because Musk's whole case is about whether an organization founded as a nonprofit public benefit project was redirected into something that now looks like one of the most valuable companies on Earth.
And the jury is hearing that from someone whose personal upside is massive.
Exactly. Musk's lawyer, Mark Molo, appears to be using wealth as motive evidence, not in the internet comment sense of rich person bad. In the courtroom sense, what incentives did this witness have, and when did those incentives emerge? Business Insider reported that Brockman also disclosed a $471 million investment in Stripe, a stake in CoreWeave, and a financial interest connected to Sam Altman's family office, an interest Musk's side framed as evidence of allegiance and financial alignment with Altman. Brockman's response, broadly, was that the diary entries and financial questions were being pulled out of context.
Stan, let's slow down on what this actually proves. A $30 billion stake is dramatic. Is it legally decisive?
No. And this is where the episode needs a little cold water. Wealth is not proof of fraud. An IPO exploration is not proof of breach. A founder becoming extremely rich is not, by itself, illegal. But in a charitable trust-style case about donor intent, mission, and control, motive matters. Musk's theory is that OpenAI's leaders knew the nonprofit commitment was real, then maneuvered around it once the commercial upside became irresistible. Brockman's wealth gives Musk's lawyers a clean story to tell. The mission changed when the money got too big. OpenAI's counterstory is just as clear. The money reflects what the company became later, not what anyone fraudulently intended at the beginning.
The other headline was smaller in dollars, but maybe sharper in symbolism: the $100,000 donation.
Courthouse News and Business Insider both reported that Brockman acknowledged he told potential donors he would personally donate $100,000 to OpenAI, and then never did. Again, that's not the whole case. A missed personal donation does not decide whether Musk's $38 million were restricted charitable funds. But it is useful cross-examination material, because it lets Musk's lawyer present Brockman as someone who preached nonprofit sacrifice, then didn't actually put in the promised personal money, while later ending up with a gigantic economic stake.
And that contrast is brutal in narrative terms. Brockman can be technically correct that the entries and donations need context, but juries remember simple contrasts. Promised $100,000, did not donate it, now worth nearly $30 billion. That lands.
Now to the diary entries, because this is the part that connects Monday's testimony to the core of the case. Marcus, what did reporters hear in court?
Courthouse News reported that Molo questioned Brockman about journal entries, including the line, quote, "Financially, what will take me to $1 billion?" end quote. Another reported entry said, quote, "It'd be wrong to steal the nonprofit from him to convert to a B Corp without him. That'd be pretty morally bankrupt," end quote. Business Insider separately reported that Brockman described some of the profit and flip language as, quote, "an expression of frustration, not a plan." That's the fight in miniature. Musk's side says the diary entries reveal knowledge and intent. Brockman says they were private, emotional, and taken out of context.
Stan, how should listeners understand private diary entries as evidence?
Carefully. Private notes can be powerful because they feel unfiltered. They are not lawyered press statements. They're not polished testimony. But they can also be messy, exaggerated, self-questioning, even contradictory. A person can write, "This would be morally bankrupt," precisely because they're wrestling with something they do not intend to do, or because they know they're doing it. That's why cross-examination matters. The jury isn't just deciding whether the words sound bad. They're deciding what those words meant in the full sequence of emails, term sheets, board decisions, donations, and corporate restructurings.
And we still don't have the transcript.
Correct. That's important. We have strong independent reporting that these lines were discussed in court. We do not yet have a complete transcript showing every question, objection, answer, and limiting instruction, so we should not overstate. The cautious version is, according to courtroom reports, Brockman's journal entries were read or discussed, Brockman resisted Musk's interpretation, and the jury heard enough to understand why Musk's lawyers think those entries matter.
There was also the attempted settlement text, the one OpenAI wanted in front of the jury. Let's lay out what we know from the actual filing.
Document 522 is public through Recap. It is OpenAI's application to introduce evidence of a pre-trial communication. According to that filing, 2 days before trial, Musk allegedly texted Brockman to gauge settlement interest. Brockman allegedly suggested both sides drop their claims. Musk allegedly replied, quote, "By the end of this week, you and Sam will be the most hated men in America. If you insist, so it will be," end quote. OpenAI argued this was admissible not to prove settlement liability, but to show motive and bias, that Musk was pursuing the case as a coercive attack on competitor.
And the judge said no.
Reporting from Bloomberg Law and other outlets says Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers denied OpenAI's request, or at least did not allow the jury to see the exchange. We did not find a written order or minute entry explaining the ruling. So the clean formulation is, OpenAI tried to use the alleged text, the judge did not let it in at this point, and the filing remains public even though the jury apparently did not receive it. That's an important distinction.
It's also classic trial asymmetry. The public can read the filing, journalists can quote the alleged text, but if the judge keeps it away from the jury, it may shape the media narrative more than the verdict. That's the difference between a legal case and a public relations battlefield.
Monday also featured an expert witness before Brockman, Stuart Russell, the UC Berkeley AI researcher. Marcus, why did that matter?
Russell is a serious figure in AI safety. He's not a random commentator. According to Courthouse News and Business Insider, he testified as Musk's expert and was paid $5,000 an hour for expert work, with Business Insider reporting a total of roughly $235,000 and about 20% of his income. That number became part of the courtroom texture because expert pay goes directly to credibility. But the bigger point is that Judge Gonzalez-Rogers has already limited the AI safety frame. She told Musk's lawyer earlier that this is not a trial on whether AI will destroy humanity. So Russell can speak to mission and safety context, but the court appears determined not to let the case become a philosophy seminar about existential risk.
Which brings us back to what this trial actually is.
It is not the trial Musk might want it to be on some days. It is not a referendum on whether artificial general intelligence is dangerous. It is not a vote on whether Sam Altman or Elon Musk should be trusted with the future. The judge has been explicit about that. This is about promises, donations, corporate governance, fiduciary duties, and whether OpenAI's transformation violated obligations tied to its founding mission. The drama is cosmic. The legal questions are much narrower.
Let's talk about the judge's control of the courtroom, because that has become a recurring character in this story.
Judge Gonzales Rogers is keeping a very tight perimeter. During Musk's testimony, she repeatedly pushed him toward yes or no answers. She limited AI safety testimony. She has now, according to reporting, rejected OpenAI's attempt to get the alleged settlement threat before the jury. That balance matters. She is not simply helping one side. She has constrained Musk when he drifted into doomsday arguments, and constrained OpenAI when it tried to introduce a prejudicial settlement communication. If you're looking for a tell, the tell is discipline. She wants a trial about the legally actionable dispute, not a spectacle about who can produce the better headline.
Which is hard, because everything about this case wants to become a spectacle. The richest man in the world, the most valuable AI company, the president of OpenAI saying his stake is worth $30 billion, diary entries about stealing a nonprofit, an alleged text about making people hated, and an expert witness being paid $5,000 an hour. This trial is a headline generator even when the judge is actively narrowing it.
So what changed Monday? We already knew Brockman was important. What did the testimony add?
It made the incentives visible. Before Monday, Brockman was mostly a name attached to founding documents and diary excerpts. After Monday, he's a witness whose wealth, investments, and own nonprofit-era statements are now part of the live courtroom story. The jury has heard that he promised a personal donation and didn't make it. They have heard, according to reports, entries where he wrestled with whether converting the nonprofit without Musk would be morally bankrupt, and they have heard him deny that those entries were a plan. That's a much richer evidentiary picture than the pretrial filings alone.
I would add, it also clarified the defense risk. OpenAI's best case is that Musk is a competitor, weaponizing old grievances because xAI is now in the same market. But Brockman's diary entries are hard for that defense, because they are not Musk's words. They're OpenAI's co-founder's words. The defense has to contextualize them, not just dismiss them.
What should listeners watch for next?
First, whether a May 4th minute entry appears on the docket, and whether any transcript or exhibits become public. We checked Pacer-adjacent public sources and recap probes Monday evening and did not find public documents after Doc 522. That may change. Second, whether Brockman returns Tuesday and how OpenAI's lawyers rehabilitate him. Third, Siobhan Zillis is expected this week, according to courtroom reports, and her testimony could connect OpenAI's board history, Musk's inner circle, and the personal relationships around the case. Fourth, Sam Altman and Satya Nadella remain the looming witnesses. Altman will speak to intent and governance. Nadella will speak to Microsoft's role, which is central to the question of how OpenAI became commercially indispensable.
And watch the IPO thread. Brockman reportedly confirmed OpenAI is exploring one. That doesn't prove Musk's case, but it raises the stakes. If OpenAI is moving toward public markets while defending a lawsuit that asks whether its nonprofit assets were redirected improperly, the timing is explosive. Every witness now speaks not just to the past, but to a potential trillion-dollar future.
Here's the lens. Musk's first week was emotionally strong, but legally uneven. He had the origin myth, the betrayal narrative, and the Larry Page speciesist story. But he also had the xAI distillation admission, the fine print problem, the unfulfilled billion-dollar pledge, and a judge unwilling to let him turn the trial into an AI apocalypse hearing. Brockman's Monday testimony gives Musk's side something different. Not just Musk's grievance, but OpenAI's internal tension. Money, mission, diary entries, and the uncomfortable question of whether the nonprofit was something to protect or something to rout around. We will keep watching the docket and the courtroom reporting. If a transcript, minute entry, or new exhibit appears, we'll separate what the jury actually heard from what the public learned through filings and press coverage. For now, the key fact is this. Week 2 has begun, and OpenAI's own president is now explaining, under oath, how a nonprofit dream became a $30 billion personal stake. I'm David Carver. Stay critical.